He also did it without addressing Matt Ryan directly. He said there were no setbacks from the game last week. And by saying no setbacks from the game last week was...
You mean he got hurt.
Well, he's saying
but
that...
But he's functional.
Yeah, that he's functional. You know, he did.
Do you need me to interpret these? Want me to be your interpreter, the coach whisperer in this situation? I'm going to be the coach whisperer.
Go ahead.
Give me another one. Okay. Matt Ryan was hurt, but he can still play.
Right.
I got you that. Okay. Grady Jarrett ain't playing this weekend.
But he did give us good news saying that Derek Shelby will be back.
Derek Shelby probably going to be starting.
And then Justin Bethel will be back.
Good times.
Yeah. Well, but then, you know, you try and take, you know, hey, listen, maybe the team will get a little bit healthier. Hey, listen, we start getting news about good health as opposed to bad health. That's a plus for me.
But it all, like,
because every week's been a doubter, oh, this guy's out or that guy's out, you know?
Yeah, and then have Derek Shelby out. That would be huge. To have Derek Shelby back would be huge. That would be huge. Derek Shelby might come in and be the starter if he could play.
Right.
That groin injury is no joke, John. I tried to tell y'all. I know he was doubled up and everybody, oh, it's just his groin. He'll be all right. Dude. The groin injuries are no joke. Luckily, Tax wasn't that bad. He could come back and play. But, man, groin injuries are no joke.
We're talking about Dan Quinn's interview here and some of the things that we gleaned from it ahead of the Falcons at Tampa on Sunday. You right from the jump of the interview, you talked about, you know, what the state of the team is. And he had an interesting answer, Hugh. He said it was a combination of frustration plus determination. And I thought, okay, you know what? That makes total sense to me. Frustration plus determination, because that's exactly what it is. They have to be frustrated, and yet they have to remain resolute. They got to be determined too.
Man, listen. As a defensive player, there's a certain pride that goes along, and I assume that it's still the same way because it doesn't change. That goes along with playing defense, man. And to go out there and know that nobody's gonna ever say it in that locker room. Nobody's ever gonna point the fingers at one another. They shouldn't. And say, hey, man, you need to pull your own weight because any given Sunday, it could change. It could change. It could be the offense needs to be bailed out. But at the same time, knowing that what the defense stands for and the standard that you set for yourself to go out there and number one, get manhandled, number one, get the points ran up on you, that's embarrassing. That is embarrassing because the defense is – you're supposed to always be the ones that impose your will on offense. That's the philosophy of a defensive player. Like, you know, we're hostile, agile, and mobile. And to not have that happen and have to go back to work and watch that film, that's probably the worst feeling in the world. So you have to go out there and you have to set the tone. And, you know, you have a guy that has tried to set the tone in Tack McKinley. He just needs to sustain that. He's the guy that has to be the catalyst, in my eyes, that's going to help get this defense over the hump. I always felt that, you know, pass rush and coverage goes hand in hand, but the guys on the front can directly affect the outcome of everything, like offensively and defensively. Those are the guys that are hands-on because they're hands-on on every play. You know, receivers, you know, they get their time to shine and all this stuff, but the big dudes in the middle, the trench work, those are the guys that I feel that directly affect the outcome of the game. And that's where you have to have that nasty, mean mentality. You know, and a lot of people, you know, I got some cats on my Twitter feed talking about why don't they stunt more? Why don't they do this more? Why don't they blitz? Yeah, that's nice. But if your dudes up front are doing their job, it don't make a difference. Like, you don't, it doesn't make a difference. You could call all the blitzes in the world if they don't get home. Mm-hmm. You can call them all in the world if they don't get home. You have to have that mean and nasty attitude up front. Like, listen, this is 10-yard fight. This is my real estate, and if you want some of it, you got to come take it. That's how they got to play.
You know, it was injuries and injuries and injuries as we discussed the Falcons and what Dan Quinn was telling us this morning. And then the injuries became communication because it wasn't just the quality of the injuries. It wasn't just that it was Grady Jarrett. And, no, I don't think Grady Jarrett's playing this week, you know, even though Coach kind of left the window cracked a little bit. I'm just trying to. Hey, listen, I'm doing whatever I can.
But you know, Coach can only tell you so much. I'm here to tell you. See, he ain't in the media. Right. He got to, you know, I can tell you. He ain't playing, man. Great.
And it doesn't just mean that, you know, you lose the thumper of Keanu Neal and that forces other players out of position or whatnot. But it is, you know, losing Deion Jones and losing Rico Allen, the two guys most responsible for making everybody kind of work on that old defense. And you talked about it. You broke it down beautifully yesterday. It's why we replayed it earlier this morning. And by the way, Hugh's breakdown of the communication problem on the Falcons has been posted up on our website at 929thegame.com. You can go to our Twitter and link to it at 929thegame. It is a fabulous breakdown of how it actually happens when communication breaks down. It is a great listen. We encourage you to go to our Twitter. We encourage you to go to 929thegame.com. If you missed it in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday, we replayed it at 7 o'clock this morning. If you missed it in both cases, you might want to listen to it because it really kind of lays out everything. And then Dan Quinn talked about that. He talked about, you know, the injuries leading to a breakdown in communication, about how it cost them, in his opinion, for all of the tough losses, it really cost them in the Cincinnati game, and that it led directly to a pair of Cincinnati touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that's what
caused at the end of the game.
The Bengals
game. At the end of the game. John, it's one of those things where it's like an ace in a hole. It's like, okay, well, you know, Atlanta's going to play tough, but where we really need to score, let's just start moving personnel. Let's start moving people around. Let's put the running back in the slot. Let's make the running back run a wheel route. Wheel route is when he just comes out the backfield and kind of runs like a – it's almost like he runs across the middle kind of. It all, you know, but that's the concept. He comes out the backfield and runs kind of across the middle. Who's going to get that guy?
Mm-hmm.
That, man, let me tell you. I used to hate those because that was my job. If he runs the real route, Douglas, that's your guy, dude. And he might run to the flat, might run to the middle of the field. But when everybody's in man-to-man, that's your guy. And these running backs are fast. Like, if you're not used to doing certain things like that, that can put you in a bad spot. But the idea of your defense, if you're covering, is to get home. Like, somebody has to get home. And that's where, you know, some of those communications, they break down. People forget who they're supposed to get, or they might panic because somebody ran into their zone. And now it's like, instead of knowing what to do, you're guessing. Oh, hell, two people in my zone. Which one am I supposed to get? You might forget. You might have forgotten to say, hey, you got the outside guy.
Well, we saw that when that one play on Breeze, when Poole, you know, they both arrived at the same time.
Yeah,
and
man.
And Breeze,
hey, listen,
bounced off of him.
You don't understand. Like I've been – like, I hated dropping back in the covers because you have to process all of that like a quarterback. And if two people flood your zone, you have to know which one to get. Now, the concept was when I played – you got the man closest to you,
mm-hmm.
and you rolled him. If somebody else coming, you know that somebody else is going to come up. And I remember Al Harris, the dirty one, said, hey, man, get the running back, because he never liked to cover the running back, because he was like, dude, get the running back, because keep him off of me. He too big. Keep him off of me. If somebody else came over there, he would get the second guy. But you had to understand what it was. And then not only that, John, you might have one guy go to the flat, and you might have one guy come up the scene. And it all depends on what defense that you're in, which guy you have.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a defense call where I have to go to the scene and then somebody else goes to the flat. Or then it might change and my responsibility might change. But see, I have to know that this is all when the ball is either being snapped or about to be snapped. And I have to process all that. If you're not on the same page with everybody or if everybody's not communicating, that's a breakdown in the defense. And that's when you have – sometimes you see two people – covering one guy because somebody didn't relay the coverage to the defender, and he screwed it up.
Yeah, and boy, we've seen this in so many different ways too. When coach says, and it may have just, if you listen to the interview, just kind of go, you know, Justin Bethel being back, you're going, okay. Well, let me tell you what, Justin Bethel was brought in not only to be a quality veteran reserve in the secondary, but because Justin Bethel is considered to be, when healthy, and one of the best special teams players in all of the NFL. That's what his specialty was to be really good. And we've seen that communication breakdown on special teams in two punts being blocked this year. Two. Because what you're having to do is you forget sometimes, Hugh, that, you know, your units are being stretched in a lot of different ways. And because of injury, you're putting guys out to block on punts who may not have blocked at all on punts.
Yeah, or don't know what to do.
Or don't
know the angles. It's a special – it's a special kind of talent it takes to do special teams and understand the angles. Because that's all it's about. Because you have to build a wall and you have to put yourself in a position where you're not getting bowled over.
Mm-hmm.
And certain guys don't know how to do that. It's the game within the game. And for people, I understand that people are frustrated and everything, but when I see certain things that are happening with the Atlanta Falcons defense right now, it takes me back to my first few years in the league. and I was that guy. And when the light goes on and you understand the defense differently, it's easier to play. It really is. And then you're locked in. These guys, some of these guys was at home playing Fortnite a couple weeks ago, John. Some of these cats were at the crib chilling. They had athletic ability. They were working out. They were getting ready to play. But they didn't think that they were going to be the starter.
Don't you love that, right? Exactly what all these fans are going. Go out and get somebody. Get a veteran. Get Navarro Bowman. Get Alden Smith. Get somebody.
And I will say this. Even if you went and got Eric Reed, because that's the big name. Eric Reed is even going through growing pains in Carolina. Like, he's still adjusting to what they have to do. He hasn't learned that whole defense. But the biggest difference in that Carolina defense and the one that we're dealing with, what, you only lost like a couple players? What, two? Maybe out of your starters, we lost five. You got five new moving parts on your defense.
Or more, because you're taking some guys
and moving them around
yeah, into different spots.
You got five
asking Des Trufant to do different things than he's done before.
And when you're, like, if you're locked into doing one thing and then you have to adjust on the fly, sometimes it takes some people a little bit longer to adjust than it does other. Everybody does not learn the same way.
Right.
I did not learn the same way that Hollis learned. Hollis Thomas, the guy that I played with at D tackle, he was like the Rico Allen of the defensive line. He was the guy that knew everything. So it's one of those things where everybody has to, it takes time for everybody to get on the same page.
All right. Everybody gets on the same page of one thing today. That's $1,000 in your pocket.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
boat, B-O-A-T. If you live in Panama City, I hope you got a boat, because it's going to be bad down
wow,
there.
John,
well,
really?
But I'm just saying, I mean my really? Prayers go out to all these people, but it's going to be bad down there, Hugh. I'm not going to lie. I don't know what the 8 o'clock update is, but anyway, a boat for $1,000, you're not going to you can get a boat for $1,000. You can get a fun little boat for $1,000.
Not a boat. You can get like a little dinghy.
A dinghy. B-O-A-T for those
of you.
You
can't get nothing with no real power. You can't get a wet bike for that much.
Uh-huh. Well, I wouldn't mind winning $1,000 if I had a boat, like in poker.
That'd help you. Yeah, that boat's nice.
BOAT to 72881. BOAT to 72881. Boat message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Rules at 92onthegame.com/rules. All right. So national signing bonus. Boat, BOAT to 72881. Well, we're getting ready for the Falcons and the. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I know the coach couldn't answer it. I know there are times where when you're talking to coach and interviewing coach, you got to ask a question. You feel like you have to ask a question, even though you know what the answer is going to be, and it's going to be coach speak, because it has to be coach speak, because he can't possibly come out and really give you 100% of the answer, because it just wouldn't. It's just not what coaches do, and it's just not right either. But when you ask him about whether or not it's a must win, you set that aside and you say, look, there's a lot on the line in this game. 2-1, snap the win streak. 2-1 in the division, snap the win streak. You know, what's most important? Are the numbers more important, or just the psyche of the team? He's not going to look at you and go, man, we need a win, man. We're depressed and we need a win. He's not going to say that, because they're not. They're frustrated plus determined. But that's really where we're at. For all the numbers, this, Hugh, you just got to get a victory at this point. We got to
get a win,
man. Yeah, right.
Get a win. It doesn't help that the offense looked like it regressed a little bit. The offensive line didn't help you out. I know, and we're talking about the defensive side of the ball a lot, but let's not forget that that offensive line got manhandled. They got manhandled. That goes to the point that I was making earlier about how the game at this level, well, at any level really, is won in the trenches. And when your team is struggling like that, I feel it's on the defensive line that they have to take control of the situation. Because when you look at it, they're the most veteran group on this defense. Look at all the
they're
the most veteran group. They're the guys. And I know it hurts to have, Grady Jarrett out, Derek Shelby out, and, things of that nature. But
where Brooks Reed has to step in and be that guy.
I think Brooks is for what Brooks has been asked to do, I think he does a good job. I really do. I really do. For under the circumstances under which they all play, he really does.
And Vic has got to,
Has to step up.
Yep.
Tack has to be that guy. Tack has to do what he has to do. He can't catch cramps. I know it happens. I'm not trying to harp on the fact that he caught cramps in the game, but he has to step his game up and take it to the next level.
Talking about the Falcons and reacting to Dan Quinn in the interview that we have, we'll, of course, post that interview up for you at 929thegame.com. And we'll get a chance to, if you missed the interview, we'll certainly play it for you again tomorrow morning at 6:20 tomorrow morning. Game's at 1 o'clock Sunday, and you can tune in 2 hours before the game at 11 a.m. Bud Light countdown to kick off. You and Mike Connie and Hugh Douglas with a big preview brought to you by Bud Light, a Game Day's favorite. Light Lager. All right, when we get back in a moment, we'll shift gears to UGA. Mike Griffith, who is the senior writer of Dog Nation, going to join us. What's the injury situation for Georgia going into their game against LSU? That's next with John and Hugh.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Who wants a ring?
It's the greatest show on turf.
Championship mindset, let's go.
Be focused, get in there and open a can, all right?
Championship right here, boy. Go.
And this season, it's in our own backyard. Keep listening as we bring you Super Bowl 53.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A big weekend of college football knocking on the door as we get to the second half of the season. It is about to get real, and we got to start talking about it because the race for the college football playoff and the national championship game is about to go into really heavy, heavy matchups. For all the talk about Alabama and Georgia and the easy schedules and whatnot, that ain't going to happen no more. College Football Notebook is brought to you by Dixie Vodka. It is football season. That means tailgating, and a true Southern tailgate isn't complete without Dixie Vodka. You can visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America and, by God, raised in the South. All right, let's talk a little bit about one of the key games this year, week nationally. A lot of eyes going to be on Red Stick as Georgia goes into Baton Rouge and faces LSU and Joe Burrow, and LSU smarting after that loss to Florida last week. And the East making a little bit of a stand, which is kind of good to see. We welcome into the program on the WadeFord.com hotline Mike Griffith, who is the senior writer for Dog Nation, and joins John and Hugh again. Morning to you, Mike.
Morning, guys.
How you doing this morning?
Doing good, man.
We lose. Mike, are you with us?
His phone faded.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. We just wanted to make sure here. All right, so we go into LSU. Always difficult to go into LSU. It's going to be a national CBS game. Tell us a little bit first about, because we're hearing reports about the Dogs and about some of their health issues, especially on defense. Where do we stand with that?
Yeah, you got a couple of reserve defensive linemen down. Devontae Wyatt, Daquan Hawkins, Muckler down. So, there's been an emergence, though. I mean, freshman stepped up there, 6'5", 320 guy, Jordan Davis, just played really well, fourth down stop. I think Georgia's going to be fine on the defensive line. I don't think that injury situation is going to be that bad. It's not like you lost a frontline starter or anything like that. But physical contest, just kind of going to find out just how good Georgia really is. I mean, that's what's out there. I mean, Georgia hasn't played any teams that are currently ranked. LSU comes in at number 13 off of that loss at Florida, and kind of backs to the wall. You know, if they lose to Georgia, Mike start hearing a little bit more about Ed Orgeron's job security again. So it's a really good LSU team against the Georgia team that's kind of eager to prove themselves.
I know that he's played a little bit last week. Are we going to probably potentially see more of Justin Fields out there playing a little bit more as we move on through this season?
Well, I mean, it just depends. We saw him a couple weeks ago. He looked, I thought, really good against Tennessee. Kirby Smart felt like he had to reach for Justin there in the second quarter, kind of sparked the offense. And, Justin did a great job. What he can bring with his legs right now gives Georgia another dimension. Now, he's going to develop into more than just a quarterback who's effective running. I mean, he's got a great arm. He's got NFL arm talent. I mean, this guy is special. There's no doubt about it. But does he get through his progressions? Does he make the pre-snap reads like Jake Fromm? No, not at this stage of his career. But you want to keep everybody that's capable of producing on the field. So, there's times when Georgia's offense is going to turn to Justin. They're going to run the same offense. They might call different sorts of plays because Justin Fields is a guy that forces the defense to defend you in a different way. He's an explosive runner. He's not just a quarterback with mobility. When he goes out there on the field, he might be Georgia's best running back.
Talking with Mike Griffith, he's a senior writer at Dog Nation. Now, you go into LSU, and LSU's a little bit battle-tested as opposed to Georgia. I mean, they already do have wins over Miami and Auburn, and you mentioned the tough loss to Florida last week, and they're going to be at home against Georgia. So they are a little bit battle-tested, and they do have a quarterback now, the Ohio State transfer Joe Burrow, who has been okay throwing the ball. I mean, he hasn't been great throwing the football, but he has run the offense with a little bit of more RPO. He's been more efficient, and yet here they come with that stable of running backs like Georgia does. Every year they just replace him, and now it's Nick Brissett, who's on pace to have a 1,000-yard season plus and maybe 1,200 yards, and LSU just keeps pounding that rock at you, and this is what Georgia's going to face.
Yeah, you know, the front seven in whole will be tested. And, you know, really, Georgia's front seven at times has been somewhat suspect. You know, you look back at the Missouri game, and Missouri rushed for, I think, 162 yards and scored four rushing touchdowns. That really bothered Kirby, because even though the game plan was really set up to prevent Drew Lock from having a special afternoon, and they did. They prevented the Missouri quarterback from throwing a touchdown pass for the first time in 14 games. When Georgia did load the box, when they did try to stuff the run, they weren't able to in the red zone. And that's the challenge for LSU. You know, if LSU is able to have success on first down running the football and stay ahead of the chains, that makes it a little bit tougher on Georgia's defense when they're trying to defend a second and five or a second and four than a second and eight or a second and nine. They pin their ears back. So that's where a lot of it's going to go down, is on those first down plays for LSU, how much success they can have, how Kirby chooses to defend LSU, how much does he load the box, how much does he continue to play this, you know, two-deep defense where, you know, Georgia just doesn't give up big plays. They've got an exceptional secondary. So can LSU be patient and sustain those long drives with short gains, or will they make mistakes like they did at Florida?
You know, I know you're talking about, we were talking about earlier, I think you mentioned his name, Devontae Wyatt, the young sophomore D tackle, and talking about how this defensive line is going to be challenged with so many injuries. I know last week he didn't play a whole lot, Devontae Wyatt, but what have you seen from him in practice? Because Coach Smart said he might make the trip this week.
Well, I haven't seen much from him in practice. You know, he injured his leg the week of the Vanderbilt game, didn't play against Vanderbilt, so I'm not sure we're going to see him. Honestly, I'm just not sure how much we're going to see him. I think it's questionable at best whether or not he makes this trip. You know, I mean, I know Kirby's you know, saying he thinks he could be back, but you know, until we see him back on the field, these injury situations, you know, it's hard to project. They don't give you the same amount of injury information as the NFL, and what little bit we saw practice, I didn't see enough to say I think he's going to make the trip.
Mike Griffith of Dog Nation joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. Georgia's getting into the meat of its schedule. If Georgia is to win the national championship, they're going to have to earn it, Mike. I mean, you have LSU on the road. You'll have to play Florida away from home, course down in Jacksonville. You'll have to play at Kentucky. You still have Auburn. Then, of course, the showdown with Georgia Tech. Then the SEC title game. Then a semifinal game. Then a title game. I mean, that is a road to hoe. I mean, that is really not easy. That's eight games that you got to go 8-0 in. That's impressive. I mean, so you look at this stretch right now, though, LSU, Florida, Kentucky, Auburn. Whew, man. I mean, they're going to have to prove it.
Yeah, there's no doubt the back end of the schedule is loaded. I mean, this LSU game it's a big showdown for Georgia. It's kind of like the final exam of the first half of the season. The good news is there's a bye week after this game. If there wasn't a bye week, then I would think that'd be really dangerous with Florida up next. But the fact that there's a bye week will give Georgia a chance to kind of catch their breath. And, you know, we've talked about injuries, and really the key guy to watch there is Solomon Kinley, the starting left guard. You know, that's the guy that Georgia really needs to get back. I think there's a little bit more of a drop-off there at that position from the one to the two. So, but there's no question, that's a back-end, you know, loaded schedule. You come back, you play Florida down there in Jacksonville. The Gators, I think, are better than most anybody thought they would be. After beating LSU, they're sitting there ranked. And then you play at Kentucky, which at the start of the year, maybe that trip to Kroger Field, you know, didn't seem like it was going to be so daunting. But, you know, Kentucky's off to a pretty good start. Even with the loss to Texas A&M last week, I still think that's going to be a tough trip. And you come home and play Auburn. And Auburn looks like they may be a little bit down, but, you know, you just know there's talent there. I think if there's one thing I would point out, it's the talent that Georgia's going to play the next four. I mean, Georgia Tech's not, you know, that game, you know, it's special maybe in Georgia and Atlanta, but Georgia Tech's not Georgia Tech. You know, it's just not what it was. It's not Massachusetts either, but not the marquee showdown. I think it's a tough matchup, though, because it's a team that, you know, runs that triple option. It's a team that does some cut blocking, and you got to play it the week before the SEC championship game. And it's a physical game. Regardless of what the scoreboard is going to be, it's going to be chippy, and you're going to have guys going at your legs. That's not a fun game. So it is a very tough stretch for Georgia. if they're going to make it back to the national championship game. And because Alabama will likely be the opponent waiting for him in the SEC title game.
You can follow him at Mike Griffith 3-2. Just 20 seconds here. It's going to be interesting this week. Florida's already beaten LSU. I know that Kentucky lost A&M, but they've beaten Mississippi State. Tennessee takes on Auburn. Georgia takes on LSU. We have Missouri taking on Alabama. The East is making a little bit of a stand, Mike. I think it's interesting that the divisions are closer than we thought.
No question. You know, I did a story on that before the season, and Dan Mullen suggested that maybe the East will regain its edge over the West, and a lot of people scoffed at that. And, of course, but the folks who like SEC West football, they're going to point to Alabama. And right now, you know, the Crimson Tide, they look a level ahead of everybody else. You know, their offense is doing amazing things. They haven't really been slowed or stopped. And, you know, Georgia's just kind of gone along quietly. They're also undefeated. But it's the second half of the season. It's college football. Things are going to change. There's going to be injuries. Players are going to emerge. Young guys are going to emerge. It's happening for Georgia right now that players out of that number one recruiting class are starting to step into bigger roles. And, you know, it's hard to tell what's going to be ahead right now. But, boy, you guys pointed out that Georgia schedule. And this would be a big one for Georgia to win going into that bye week. There's no doubt about it. It's a really big football game for Georgia Bulldogs.
Mike, do appreciate it. Thanks very much for taking
the time.
You're the
man, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, guys.
It is going to be interesting. Yeah, these teams that have to go, whether it's Georgia, and you start to put it in that perspective, Hugh, you have to say, in order to win the national title, you have to go 8-0 against that schedule.
That's a tough schedule. And they're coming off a big loss. Big loss.
Man of mercy. All right, it has been a very busy hour. Coach Quinn, our reaction to Coach Quinn, Mike Griffith talking about Dogs LSU. And now on this very busy Wednesday, we will slide into that area of the show known as Hugh's World.
Yes, well, I know it's not Christmas, but it's getting close to that time, and I have a perfect gift for you. For all those stinky individuals that you have in your life, I'll tell you what I mean about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth from your Game Time Traffic Center. As you try to make it down the 85 corridor, had several incidents along the way between 316 and 285. Folks trying to travel down by Beaver Ruin had three lanes blocked there for a while, trying to travel past the crash scene there. Also had a crash for you if you're traveling 85 south at Cheshire Bridge, should be off on the shoulder. And then we had one at Beaver Connector North. Right at Monroe Drive, authorities on the scene there. 20 headed west at Glenwood, stall vehicles off on the shoulder. Downtown Connector, it's northbound at University. Had one there as well. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm Stephanie Stallworth on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. For every walk-off.
Charlie walks him off again!
For every home run.
If it's Freddie Freeman!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to the game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bruh.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind
of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
Now, before I get into this gift that I'm talking about you should get for Christmas, I understand that, you know, this is just October and that, you know, we got a lot of time to go, but I'd like to think ahead a little bit. And I also want to give a shout out to all the people that on Instagram that follow me and that listen to this show. Because I think after all this time, John, they are starting to understand me a little bit and how my mind works. Because some of these stories that I have for Hugh's World, I don't find them myself. They DM me. They DM me these stories and ask me, have I heard of this? So shout out to everybody that has DM'd me a story that I've done on Hugh's World.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. You see a story, you go, is that childish? DM you.
That might be the case, but I just want to say, because this one last night, you know, me and AT, we had a little bit of a disagreement yesterday. And today, well, yesterday, we had a disagreement about, you know, the whole ESPN thing with Josine Anderson in the interview. Uh-huh. We got past that. But then last night, when I sent him the story to let him see what I wanted to talk about, he just said, bye, Hugh. He didn't even have a response. He just said, bye, Hugh. But without further ado, I want to get to the story that I got last night. It's a story about these underwear. And they're not just any underwear, John. They are underwear that helps mask the farts that you have.
What?
They're called flatulence. Shreddies. They're called, okay, flatulence is the better word that we're going to use on the radio.
Yes.
Okay, flatulence, since we're not being childish. It's a fart.
You're childish.
Gassy. You're being gassy. And these shorts, these underwear are flatulence underwear.
Why didn't I think of this?
I don't know. But the thing of it is, John, is that they give you a tutorial on how to use these underwear. And they say that the best way to use them is to, when you know that you're about to have gas, is to like close your legs a little bit and close them and let the fart out slow.
See, this is exactly why I did not want you to bring this up.
And this is why I didn't even respond.
This is, yes. They tell you, they give you a tutorial how to use these underwear.
Who are you giving these to for Christmas? If you gave me these,
he's getting them for
himself. But first of all, you probably wouldn't know. And plus, they're expensive. People like expensive gifts. They're like $50 a pair.
Anybody
of drawers.
Anybody want a flatulence?
You wouldn't even know.
Underwear?
I'm good.
First of all, if you're giving somebody giving you drawers, then they've probably seen you in your drawers. That's not a gift that you just give out lightly. That's not a gift that you just get anybody. I did a little research behind this.
Of course you did. Research.
They did. You know they have flatulence jeans now. And I look like, John, I guess they're overseas. I guess they're in Europe or something, because it's like a little L in front of the $100. And that leads me to believe that they cost more than $100. I don't know what the transfer rate is for the lira, but they might be a little bit more than $100. They say Shreddies flatulence filtering jeans feature a carbon lining which eliminates odors. The carbon lining gives increased protection and more freedom to enter social situations. When worn, the Shreddies flatulence filtering underwear, it offers a double layer of protection, giving you increased confidence that all odors are filtered. Because listen, let's be honest. We're having an honest come to Jesus moment right now. We've all been there. Where we've been in situations where our stomach has been bubbling, because we know if it goes down, it's gonna be, everybody gonna know it probably was you, and it's gonna be stinky, especially you talk about eating all that food, that spicy food and stuff you talking about eating, Wendy. I'm just saying. So this is something that you might want to invest in.
I don't need that.
Because we've all been.
No, of course you don't. No.
Listen,
not you, Wendy. No.
Don't act like we ain't all been in situation where your stomach's been hurting because you ain't want to let out a poop.
I guess we all don't discuss it on the radio.
Right.
Listen, we're family.
Hey, we don't want it for Christmas. No.
Listen, if they
we are not family.
If the people didn't understand me, they wouldn't have sent me the story.
Dude,
they understand this. This is something that needs to be discussed.
You get this.
That's
for your
the
girl.
Problem.
If you want to, break up with your girl, this is what you get her.
No, you don't.
Nope.
You just say, listen.
Absolutely, this is what you get her if you want to break up with her.
No, you know that this strengthens a relationship when you know.
Absolutely
it does.
Not. Absolutely not.
Daryl, when did you know? I'm just asking the question, and I want you to answer the best of your ability.
Yeah, Darryl,
yes, sir.
When did you know your wife was the one for you? When you farted in front of her, probably, huh?
No, that wasn't.
And she didn't say nothing.
That's not how I knew she was the one.
Not usually the marker. But
that's
that
not.
Is,
thank
that
you, John.
That is the watermark. If you can fart in front of your girlfriend, she probably is a keeper.
When I married Gloria's mother, when we were married, that was not the test.
Listen.
Usually what I would.
Captain Caveman, bro.
I don't understand why all of a sudden y'all want to get highbrow about the situation. You know you are, when you found that special person, when you can use the bathroom in front of them when the door is open, and you can fart in front of them, and they don't say a word.
That wasn't
that
wasn't the line that I set, though, to find out that she was
man,
the one.
Listen,
when he's
y'all,
down on
y'all
are
some high
falutin. I knew you were the one when you
y'all had to use
up.
It,
y'all,
and
y'all
you were
ain't
there.
Keeping it 100, man. You fart in front of somebody, and they don't say nothing, or they make jokes about you. That's a pretty cool individual. That's real. And now if you buy them some fart jokes, let them know that they with some fart draws, knowing that they fart stink, and they need these, that's pretty cool. That means that you've taken your relationship to the next level. So y'all talk about going out to eat and all this other stuff. No, this is what makes a real relationship right here. Yes, AT, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I'm sorry, Atlanta. On behalf of the morning show,
what?
I tried to get him not to do this.
Why are you kidding me?
I didn't even respond to the stupid text that he sent.
This is not, dude, you don't think this is a need? This is something that's a need, especially in corporate America? How many times have people been in corporate America that been in meetings and you had to fart, you couldn't, because you were afraid that it was like people were just, it was going to stink so bad you didn't want to offend anybody. This helps you out. And if you get the farty jeans, you got the double the protection.
I'm just so glad you didn't do this yesterday while we had our meeting.
While you were sitting by me.
No, I'm just saying. Dog, I'm not saying I might get a pair, but I'm wondering if they did some field. I might do some field testing. I might do a little field testing. I want to see. You are not curious to see if these draws can stop a fart from smelling.
No, I finally got you a new intro, bro. This is your new intro right here.
I'm spending time arguing with Connie and Bo about surface winds of a hurricane.
See, you know what? Yo, you guys are way too highbrow for me. I see. Y'all ain't keeping it real. It's fine.
Highbrow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
because you know I'm highbrow, bro.
We don't want to sit around and practice farting in our new
underwear. Oh, so y'all. So okay, I'm the only one at this table that fart. I'm the only one that's farted before.
That's not what
you said. You said you wanted to try it out.
I'm field testing. I'm a field. I want to see if it works.
So
you're not curious to see if it works.
No.
It better work because I'm going to blame you from now on.
Oh, jeez. You guys, man, I tell you, the group that they've paired me with.
Yeah, man, boy. Ooh, I almost said something right there.
You do not recognize greatness when it's sitting right in front of you.
Greatness, huh? Boy, I know the skeletons in them closets. Keep playing with this.
Hey, do you want to vote in our poll?
No, I want to go home.
This is not. I'm just saying. This would be a great gift. I think these shreddy draws would be a great gift.
Who do you want to win the World Series? That's our fault.
The Dodgers.
Well, I know. I mean,
you asked.
Sprite asked me this. Come on.
Shreddies, people. They have a website, shreddies.com. Somebody's out there going to go to the website.
Somebody needs to drink more Sprite. That's all I can think of. Settle that stomach down.
Or something else.
Ginger ale, man. Ginger beer.
Do you know how many unbeaten teams are left in college football? We'll tell you the number of how many are left and how many the maximum number are and what these teams face. Could we be in a situation where we could have a problem with no unbeaten teams? That's next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.